Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That show?
Yeah, no, it's kind of weird that one's not taken off today.
I am headed to the Penguins game after this, and I was told all week that I needed to buy beer for Thanksgiving. And, of course, I never did it. So I paid Charlie Borges to pick up the beer for me.
Your own like personal DoorDash.
Yeah.
Kind of personal shopper.
I gave him $50. You think that's fair?
No, I think that's generous of you. I think it's like weird though. He's your coworker and you're like, you know, you're
well, here's the thing.
Kind of treat him like it's like errands that you're asking.
I knew he was coming into work. I found out he lives next door to Hampton Beer Outlet, which is a proud sponsor and of the morning show and works with Crowley and works at the station. And Amanda's meeting me back at the station before we go to the hockey game tonight together with Stella. So it's going to seem to her like I actually went and got the beer. So when it goes from the office, I'm going to come out with it and she's going to think that I did all that stuff. But in reality, someone else did for me.
Now, Amanda listens to the show somewhat keenly. There is, of course, and people who listen to the show and have her phone number.
Yeah, they could.
Could easily.
But they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't want to out me and make me look like I dropped the ball. My thought.
I would hazard a guess that something they would love to do, actually,
I don't think
is
so.
Make it look like you dropped the
no,
ball.
No, because every married man has been in the same exact spot as me before and has had to scramble and come up with plan Bs that have worked out and have been maybe little white lies.
So you think you've got like married guy...
support.
The married guy fraternity.
I do.
Is going to rally around you.
I do, yeah.
Interesting. Interesting how much faith you put into
that
fraternity.
And she's going to look at it like, you know what? I gave this guy one job to do for Thanksgiving and
he nailed it.
He crushed it. He hit it out of the park.
It's funny. It's very easy for me to pick up my phone, which is on the table right here, and just type in AMANDA.
No, you would not do that to me.
Space. And then just start firing away here.
But even if you did, why would she care? As long as I got the beer, the method to get it, why would it even matter to her? You know?
Oh, yeah. So you're saying for her vantage point or from her vantage point, the ends justify the means.
If the beer's there.
As long as you didn't rob the beer distributor, if you had somebody else buy it for
you. Crime.
And you guys have separate finances, so you paying essentially a $50 surcharge or upcharge on the beer.
Yeah, that was my decision.
That doesn't bother her. That's your money.
Yeah. You're on my side here now?
I am happy that when you do things like this, you do generally, in my opinion, pay the coworker you're asking for help generously. Like, that is not a $50 errand for Charlie Borges, but you're giving him a nice $50.
It's a nice Thanksgiving bonus for Chaz.
Sure.
All right, we just heard Travis Williams. Thanks to Jason Mackey for passing along this audio. He did it one-on-one. It was not one of these, gangbang things where there's seven or eight different reporters there.
Just threw that term out there, huh?
That's what they call it, I thought. No?
Scrum, maybe, you could have gone with?
So Travis says there that they're going to be aggressive this offseason, that talk is cheap. Here's the line that stood out to me. We can't just try. Because I know that most Pirates fans that I talk to, and I would include myself in that group, a lot of us think that's all they're doing is trying.
So what is he, Yoda that, now? Do or do not? There is no try?
And that they want to be, they want to at least let people know that they're out there searching and scouring, but like the Steelers with wide receivers. They try. They tried. They did everything they
did. Our level best.
Yep.
Didn't work out, though, in the end.
And that they have, like, good intentions, and they actually have, like, their heart's in the right place, that kind of thing.
You know what the road to hell is paved with, right? Good intentions.
But Travis Williams is already, like, shooting that down. He's the president of the team saying we can't just try.
Okay, I don't, it's weird coming from him. I understand that he is technically the superior to Ben Cherington. I don't view him as such. I view him as like a lateral person from Ben Cherington. Frank Coonerly liked to get involved with the baseball ops stuff, especially more towards the end.
Yep.
Travis is a business guy. And I understand the business of the Pirates is connected to some extent to how the team does on the field. If they are really good on the field, they're going to make more money. And so he has some sort of vested interest. But I associate him almost strictly with, and I'm just bringing this up because it's one of the times an off-the-field thing made news, and I know it's a negative one, but like the Bucko Brick stuff or anything that's like community PR related in a good sense, if they do something that's a huge community win, I would say that's Travis. That's his purview. Like when he talks about actual baseball op stuff, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad Jason sent this back, and hey, he's sounding the alarm that they're going to be serious this year and it's going to be different. Coming from him, it means less than nothing to me. Honestly. And I could even
so you
say,
would need Cherington to say it to believe
I would
it.
Probably need Bob Nutting to say it, but then here's
why,
like
Bob the, a cup Bob did that
well, here's
Chiefs
the
promotion thing where he said they've got everything they need and I expect
no,
big
I know.
Moves and then no big moves happen. So.
No, I understand that. I would what I was gonna
He's oversold
with,
and underdelivered too.
What I was gonna finish with was everybody involved there, if you count Travis in the triumvirate here and just make it Travis Williams, Ben Cherington, Bob Nutting, they can collectively and individually, until they're blue in the face, tell me how serious they are. Tell me that they can't just try. They have to do it. They have to actually make it happen. They have to succeed, essentially, right?
Yeah.
It means less than nothing to me. As a person that's watched them talk about urgency over the past several years, as a person that has watched them try to telegraph that, oh, no, this is different, and maybe more than anything, imply that they understand how special it is that they have Paul Skeens in word. And then indeed not follow up on that in any way, shape, or form. They have Paul Skeens' first year happen. He takes the MLB by storm. I made a case that I think he probably should have been the Cy Young winner as a rookie, even though he didn't pitch enough innings, really, to get on people's radars, right? He's even better in year two, all things considered. The team is worse. So you as the president, or you as the GM, or you as the owner who hires both of those guys, you can get in front of any microphone you want, and you can say all these things that sound good, especially when somebody transcribes them.
Yeah.
I don't care until you do it. You get no benefit of the doubt from me whatsoever.
They keep putting the onus on Cherington in that answer. He said, Ben has what he needs. They keep making it sound like Cherington, despite what the rest of the baseball world thinks and Pirates fans think, the people at the very tippy top of the Pirates organization continue to paint this picture in which the GM is not having to do this with one hand tied behind his back.
I disagree with, I think that's strictly from their internal perspective, though. That's the problem.
Okay, but when he doesn't, and he didn't last year, he doesn't get fired. So that's the thing that I can't
reconcile.
I can't reconcile that. Exactly. All right. If you really believe that Ben Cherington has every advantage and everything he needs to put a playoff team, which is what Travis said there, we need to make the playoffs. You went 71-91 last year, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was five games worse.
You fired your manager. Mm-hmm. You brought this guy back. Like somewhere in there, and maybe I forget if he was asked this at the press conference. He probably was. Someone needs to, you know, in this period where things are moving at a glacial pace in the offseason, someone needs to ask Travis Williams or Bob Nutting again, time out. Why did you bring this GM back? You're making it sound like the guy is actually playing with a somewhat, like playing at a somewhat level playing field, or at least level enough to win.
But don't you think that's the lie, that he's not? Or not the lie. I'll even be a little more charitable and say, that's like the fundamental problem, Pony. If they believe, given what they've given him resources-wise, Bob has, that he is playing with a level playing field, they're wrong. Because empirically, we can like go and measure how much they're spending.
Yeah.
When they say we've given you what you need, that's really about, do you have enough money to spend relative to your peers? Either Ben Cherington is just leaving a ton of money in the kitty every year, doubtful, or Ben Cherington doesn't actually have, quote, everything he needs.
Their word that they keep harping on, Travis, because he's talked twice now, and he brings this up, he brought this up both times when Kelly got his contract extension and then again at this Thanksgiving fundraising event. Aggressive keeps being thrown around, which if I were the boss and this is when you make your team better in the offseason, not the trade deadline so much, but right now. Mm-hmm. If he was already on a tight leash, if he didn't make the moves that I thought were commensurate with my expectations of we need to be aggressive and we need to go get these bats and help our offense now, I would fire him before the season even started. Like, this is his nut-cutting time. Mm-hmm. This is it for him. Not like, I wouldn't just, okay, well, you know,
and
my head, I think you screwed up in the offseason, but we'll see if the proof is in the pudding when the season starts. No.
Well, he's supposed to be making deals.
Right. And if he doesn't, I would honestly can him before the season even starts and then allow for somebody in spring training to get their sea legs under them and start to assess the organization, all levels of it. And then they're like kind of in a solid place by the time the draft gets here and the trade deadline gets here. That's what I would do.
They won't.
But they won't, exactly.
But I just also think fundamentally that if they genuinely in their heart of hearts believe, or if Bob in his heart of hearts believes he's been given, Ben Cherington has every resource he needs to do the job well and to stand on level ground, then he's just wrong. Like, I'm saying that pretty dispassionately. I'm not, like, going to name call. I'm not going to scream and yell. I'm just going to say he's very simply wrong and that he is way off in his evaluation of what is and isn't necessary to create a winner.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Major League Baseball.
Fan presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're live at Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet, on this Thanksgiving Eve. We've all aged out. None of us are closing down bars till 2 a.m. and then looking around at your friends and saying things like, hey, do you want to order the Domino's 555 deal right now? And everybody acting like it's the greatest thing they've ever heard in life. Mulsey doesn't get it because he doesn't like pizza.
When I was still in that mode and we would go to this one particular spot that no longer exists up in the North Hills.
Called Taco Bell?
No, like the bar.
Oh.
Ironically, I guess you can't see it anymore because it's not there, and the bar was called Magoo's, which Mr. Magoo was very nearsighted.
Magoo's.
Right.
Go to that was your get all the fellas back in town.
Oh, yeah. That was where every
together spot.
That Magoo's? Was where everyone who knew anyone in the North Hills, if they went to North Catholic, NA, North Hills, they would end up at, you'd end up at like Magoo's or one
was
of
Was it a dive bar?
No, it was like a normal joint, but it was just packed to the gills, right?
Yeah.
And I'll say this. My parents were very cool for this, in my opinion. They would always be like, listen, we don't want anybody doing anything unsafe. We're going to drop you all off there. We're going to get like two sedans full of people. So like we could take like eight or nine of you at least. And then we'll pick you up, even if it's at 2 a.m.
Tremendous job.
And then my mom had taught most of these kids.
Yeah.
And so they would be singing Bible school songs out the window, hammered at 2 a.m. And they thought it was funny.
See, we ran into a little bit of a problem with that when we went away to Kentucky. We went and all played golf on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the girls said, hey, you guys can go, and if you have a few too many, we'll come and pick you up. Well, we cashed in that.
Oh no,
Chip.
And they were not.
And they were like, "What the heck?" No, they were like, "Come on, guys, you're really going to inconvenience us like this?"
And really?
We're like, wait a minute.
Don't offer it if you're not going to provide it.
Exactly.
Don't over. You know what that is, Pony? It's very on point. Don't overpromise and underdeliver, or don't bellyache about it. If you say you're going to do something, do it.
Let's talk to former big league pitcher, our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst, Matt Clement. Matt, where's the spot where like all the Butler High alums get together on Thanksgiving Eve up your way? Is there one?
I would guess that's something I never partake in, but I would guess it would be the Monroe Hotel in Butler. Would be that was the spot back last time I heard people doing that. I'm a little too old for that now. So
Hotel. Tony, there's a place in Coriopolis near where we live called the Montour Hotel that Alex, my wife, apparently used to go into.
Yeah.
When I say to you that nothing about it looks like a hotel and everything about it looks like it smells like a wet cigarette, I mean it. It's one of those bars that's almost got me curious that I've got to go in there just to see what it's like.
Matt, you read what Travis Williams had to say to the Post-Gazette. What's your biggest takeaway from it?
Well, I think that, a lot of it's pretty obvious answers by him. Like, if you want to compete, you're going to have to spend money and get the offense better. I think it's exciting for the Pirate fan. Like, the Pirate fans have went through, what, 2-3 weeks of exciting, talk about this free agency? And my hope is, I guess my hope in this big picture is that, something comes to fruition, because the worry for me is, it doesn't come to fruition, and it's not because they're being cheap, but the stigma of them being cheap and not doing anything for all these years probably could really exaggerate the negative side of this if something doesn't happen.
Yeah, it feels to me like what you said is right on the money. If you're going to say this now for how they've operated for so many years and having Skeens and him being this good and everything else that they do have coming up through the pipeline – if you say it all now and don't actually come through with it in a way that everyone can kind of agree is legitimate, it is going to make the fallout and the blowback that much worse as a result, because you said all this stuff and then didn't do it.
Yeah, I think I could, as a baseball person and a realist, I could understand, listen, that number, not paying that number for that guy is not good enough. Blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, when all this history is piled up behind it, that's not going to be a good enough excuse for most people around this area. And it's a big off season because, as I read that article, one of the other things that came to my mind out of it is this is really the first time you're really going to judge Charrington trade acumen. Like he's free agent acumen. Like, he really hasn't had the opportunity. Like, is it his? I always say this: is it his fault, or has he not been allowed to do it? Because there aren't a ton of moves piled up that he's botched up with tons of money involved. And now it looks like he has the chance to do that for probably the first time. There's moves and there's, you know, there's failed second and third tier prospects that came back in deals that, like, those are hit or miss, and some organizations get luckier and some maybe scout a little bit better, whatever the case may be. But this is the first time, like, where it looks like he's going to have the chance to really build this team to be a contender.
Matt, do you think the Pirates have to pay a Pirates tax? You've kind of alluded to this, where let's say offers are close. Let's say they even offer a little bit more, but they have to offer a lot more because they have to convince the player to come play here.
I think there's an aspect to that, and that's probably going to be who that player is you're bidding against, I guess would be my call on that, right? You know, if you're bidding against the Yankees and the Dodgers, you're going to pay a Pirate tax. You're going to have to convince this guy to come do this. If you're bidding against the Twins, the Guardians, and you know, some middle range teams, then maybe not so much. But I do think it happens. And I've thought about something else we talked about a little bit. Like, is Skeens a draw to come play with? I like to think that Donnie Kelly is, and the chance to win is. I think Skeens is a draw to come play with, but I think that kind of works in reverse, unfortunately, where I'm a pitcher and you have a great offense. I'm going to come, you know, I might come play with that great offense because you're going to get me a lot of runs for it. We can win. And if I do what I do here, it's different. Where Skeens, you know, as a hitter, you're going to have to, it doesn't work in that same fashion. It's kind of in reverse form when you're talking about a dominant pitcher to come play with.
Matt, we hear this all the time from people who, like, really get into the nitty-gritty business of baseball. So this one might be a little off the board, but I feel like we hear it more and more now, too, with maybe the money getting bigger and bigger. But that, like, certain states that don't have a state income tax actually have a very real advantage. Florida, Texas, don't, you know, they have an easier time, all things being equal, with that as maybe a tiebreaker. How legit is that, in your opinion, that notion, that if you go to a place where you don't have a state tax and you're making millions and millions of dollars, that a player might actually make a decision one way or the other based on that?
I think once you hit a certain threshold, you know, to some, it's going to matter regardless. But once you hit a certain threshold, I mean, I don't know if Otani's really worried about the state tax he's incurring with all the stuff he has, right? But if
it's all deferred money anyway, so he doesn't care.
Right. But I think that, like, once, you know, when you're still in the, you know, the, all these numbers are astronomical, whatever you're talking here. But, like, when you're still in the relatively, like, you're talking some of these guys 3 years, $15 million, that makes a lot of difference. It makes a big difference in that, in a contract like that, or even a, you know, a $60 million one over 3 years or 4 years or whatever. So yeah, it can be a tiebreaker for sure. And unfortunately, those states, Arizona and Texas and Florida, are all Southern states that people want to be living in anyway, to start off with.
Matt Clement, our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst. Matt, let's talk again next week. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Segment's brought to you by our friends at Mike's Beer Bar. The fan beer of the month is Jackworth Hard Ginger Beer. Supports the National Alliance of Mental Illness. It is one of the biggest nights for bars. New Year's Eve, St. Patrick's Day, day before Thanksgiving. Would you say that's the holy triumvirate?
Well, I think the better sort of question to ask about those three is, which is the most amateur hour night to the least, or vice versa?
New Year's Eve, St. Patrick's Day, Thanksgiving Eve is the least of the three.
Oh, man.
Least amateur hour.
I know a lot of people who would say that there is no more amateur hour day on the calendar for drinking than St. Patrick's Day. That just mock it relentlessly. I think New Year's Eve is actually the least. I think it's people.
You know what? I'm going to change my mind on that, because I think fewer and fewer people actually go out on New Year's Eve.
Right. They stay
I think
home.
More people go out St. Patrick's Day and tonight.
I think night before Thanksgiving is like this crazy sprint. And then I think St. Patty's Day is when everybody tries to get it going still.
Let's talk to our guy, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, are you still in the salad days of going out on Thanksgiving Eve?
God, no. No.
What age did you age out of that, Mike?
I don't know. 25?
I think that's the right number, Pony. I think if you're past 25, it's like wearing that senior letter jacket when you're like 32 years old.
So there was a 24-year-old Mike Florio who was like painting downtown Wheeling red on Thanksgiving Eve?
Yes.
The Wheeling feeling, Pony.
What was the spot, Mike, where you knew you could show up and it was like glory days or cheers in Wheeling?
And you know what? I really got to think about that. There were a couple different places we used to go. There was the Eagle. Not the Eagle. It was the Eagle 2. The Eagle was so good they made another one. There's a place
that's
called
like
Harvey's
that I think is
a veterinary clinic now.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
all right.
Those were the days.
Mike,
I don't have any specific memories of them.
And I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah. I said to Chris earlier this hour that I'm starting to get a little bit of Russell Wilson calf injury vibes with Aaron Rodgers' wrist, where the preliminary report was, oh, he'll be back. He won't miss any games. Oh, he almost played in the Falcons game week one last year, and then he ended up missing six. And we're going to hear Aaron Rodgers later this hour. It doesn't sound like, at least from what happened at practice and what he said, like he's much closer to playing. You're going to be on a Thursday night. You're going to be on TV tomorrow night talking about the Ravens and Bengals and Joe Burrow coming back. What's your take on what's going on here with Aaron Rodgers?
Actually, I won't be on tomorrow night. We don't have a studio show for the Thanksgiving night game. Thank God. Because it's not like I got paid extra for it. I used to be on call for the Thanksgiving night game, which meant, you know, I couldn't enjoy the Thanksgiving potent potables. So yeah, I'm not working tomorrow night, which is good. But I haven't seen that Rodgers. Now you got me curious, because Mike Tomlin's been making it clear since Sunday. He told Jay Glazer Sunday morning he expects Aaron Rodgers to play this week. He said it after the game. Said it on Tuesday. They expect Aaron Rodgers to play. And remember, I told you guys last week, hey, if he doesn't play the first week, if this wrist is so bad, like he's not going to play until the wrist is healed to the point where they're not concerned. And Glazer was saying they're concerned about a displacement fracture. So who knows? Who knows? It's not like there was a drop-off with Mason Rudolph, and they could have won that game. So interesting decision for them to have to make, because we're getting closer and closer to lights out on the season.
Well, I think it's interesting too, though, Mike. I will say on Tuesday, I thought Tomlin softened his language a little bit to be less emphatic about the idea. He was like, I think, we expect, we hope, but we have to see still how the
proceed
week,
with caution. We was still, thrown around a lot.
Yeah, we still have to see how the week goes. So I maybe most interested though in what you said at the very end, and not that you referenced a Celebrity Jeopardy category from Saturday Night Live and did potent potables there, but I think it's noteworthy that you felt like there just wasn't much daylight between a Rodgers performance and what Mason Rudolph put on tape on Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you guys were saying it last week, there isn't much of a drop off. So you got 100% Mason Rudolph versus Aaron Rodgers at some degree under 100%. What is the decision that you ultimately make? And none of the stuff that's said by Tomlin is binding. All that matters is the injury report. It's all that matters. And they have to tell us today whether he practiced and whether it was full or limited. They have to do it on Thursday, and on Friday they have to apply a label to Aaron Rodgers. They don't have to go anything beyond that. And it's just odd that they've clearly created an expectation he's going to play. And now there's a chance they may be backing off of it.
Mike, I said to Chris yesterday, or maybe it was Monday, my dates are starting to run together, and I haven't even imbibed in any of the Thanksgiving stuff. But, you know, it seems to me like this defense that the Steelers have of, well, the doctors said Aaron Rodgers couldn't play. Since when does Aaron Rodgers just say the doctors are right and whatever they want me to do, I'll do? Like, I just can't fathom that, knowing what we know about Aaron Rodgers, that if the doctor said to him, yeah, you can't play, he would just say, oh, you're right about that. I trust doctors on something. Your thoughts?
Well, and Tomlin said last week, it's ultimately Aaron Rodgers' body. He gets to make the decision. So I don't know if somebody scared him, if they showed him, you know, some sort of a presentation that somebody whipped up on their MacBook that this is what happens if you fall down the wrong way and your wrist snaps. And he said, I don't want that. So I don't know why at the end of the day it's not his decision, and maybe it was informed by some very strong advice that you fall down one time and you instinctively throw that left hand out, there's a chance you're going to have a serious wrist injury that is going to end your season and require surgery and just be, you know, a pain to live with for weeks until it finally heals.
Mike, the Steelers, after that loss to the Bears, coupled with the Ravens winning, I think the last playoff odds I saw at least one site, it was 89% for the Ravens, 18% for the Steelers. If those hold, and the Steelers, a lot of ground left to cover here, but if those trends hold and they don't make the playoffs, period, it'll be four times total, four seasons out of 19, where Mike Tomlin has actually won at least one playoff game. What do you make of that, particularly when we hear a lot about the fact that he's never had a losing season at the helm?
Oh, a losing season can happen this year. You know, it was a tie that saved him one of these years with 17 games to finish 8-8-1. Mm-hmm. But there's some history on the line here. And when you do all the things the Steelers did with DK Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey, waiting for Aaron Rodgers, just the vibe that they've created that they are trying to go all in, they don't make the playoffs. I've said all along that they've got to win at least one playoff game for the entire offseason to be justified. And Rodgers has to get to the playoffs to put the right icing on the cake, especially since the top layer is not good cake from the last 2 years with the Jets. It's not good for anybody if they fail to make the playoffs. And yeah, the last straw, not from the perspective of Art Rooney II, but from the perspective of some fans, would be, hey, there goes the argument that Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. And the 1 year where they went out and spent a lot of money and were very aggressive, they failed to even make the playoffs. Meanwhile, George Pickens had 1,500 receiving yards with a new team.
What is the percentage right now in Mike Florio's mind that Mike Tomlin is not the Steelers' head coach next year?
I haven't really thought about it much because I've yet to accept that either side wants to move forward. And I know that right after Brian Daboll was fired by the Giants, people started getting antsy about this idea of a trade. And it's not really a trade because the coach ultimately controls it. It's compensation that's agreed to in advance before the new team is allowed to talk to the coach about possibly hiring him. And if it happens, then the compensation flows from the new team to the old team. But I'm a firm believer, and I reported over the weekend, the Giants haven't ruled out trying to de facto trade for a current coach. I'm a firm believer teams need to do that more often, and teams need to make that call. Now, in past years, especially 2 years ago when it felt like something was going on and maybe Tomlin was ready to move on, apparently teams are constantly monitoring the situation. At some point, though, if you don't get to the playoffs, if you don't win playoff games, especially after you've done all of this, I don't know. Is there still that presumption that teams would line up out the door to hire Mike Tomlin? I just don't know. I don't know. And maybe there is a belief all he needs is a fresh start, just like when Andy Reid went from the Eagles to the Chiefs. It's just a change of scenery, a fresh start, and off we go with a winning program in a new city.
Mike, do you agree with one talking head said today that if Mike Tomlin had gone 8 years without winning a playoff game in Philadelphia, in Green Bay, in New England, he would have been fired by those organizations? Do you agree with that?
Yes. I think the Steelers want to keep their thing. They want to keep their hairdo from high school. They are the team that has had three coaches since 1969, and they don't want to change that. They are the model of stability and continuity, and they don't want to change it. I also think there's a fear that if we do it, we're going to be worse. And look, Chuck Knoll was kind of, sort of, nudged aside. It's amazing. He was only 59, and there was never any talk about him being hired by someone else, which is ludicrous. When Cowher left, my theory was and still is he was going to take a little time off and then come back and make a lot more money. He was never going to get market value from the Steelers, so resigned for a little bit and then come back. That wasn't team-initiated, obviously. And I think it's going to take a lot for the team to initiate pushing a guy out. I think it's going to take a lot.
You just said something interesting there about Bill Cowher not getting market value. He was never going to get market value from the Steelers, but Tomlin gets market value from the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL, so what shift happened there?
I don't know. It's a great point, but I remember developing that take 20 years ago after the Steelers beat the Seahawks in Super Bowl 20, and Mike Holmgren was making like twice what Bill Cowher was making. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Now, we'd have to go back and track the dollars and look at the growth. It could be that collusion is real when it comes to coaching pay, and maybe relative to the salary cap, coaches make less now than they did 20 years ago, so it's easier to be one of the highest paid coaches. I know there's a belief that the league does indeed, when they have those meetings four times a year, talk among themselves about not letting coaching pay get out of control because there is no salary cap, which would be an antitrust violation if anybody could ever prove it. But that may be one explanation, that it's not as much relative to the cap to be one of the highest paid coaches as it was back when Cowher was the coach and guys like Holmgren were getting paid by the late Paul Allen, what, $9 million a year, which was clearly top of the market. And I think Cowher was down around 4.5 or 5 at the time.
Mike, one other thought here, because the Steelers are doing things maybe that they haven't always done. They're giving out third contracts to players that maybe are suspect when they're top of the market. TJ Watt hasn't really played like a $41 million guy all year. Some of these are things that have only started happening recently. And so I bring all that up to ask this. Forget about the Packers or the Eagles. If Dan Rooney was just a little younger and was still alive and still the principal driving force in the owner's box for this team, and they were in the exact same scenario they are now, would he still keep Mike Tomlin as his coach? Would he have already made a move if this had been going on and he was still calling the shots for this franchise?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I don't really know. I still think organizationally this idea that they've had three coaches since 1969 is a badge of honor, and they will not lightly go from 3-4, that I just get the sense that they're proud of that and they want to ride it out. And, you know, Dan Rooney's the one who hired him at the end of the day. And I just think it would have taken a lot and will take a lot. He's a great presence. He's a great ambassador for the team. I said last week, we were playing some of his press conference. You know, if he wanted to get into TV, he could have the same kind of impact that John Madden had. If he can speak extemporaneously during a game, the way that the sayings come out, the quips, it almost seems like they're on the tip of his tongue. If he can come up with like those memorable Mike Tomlin sayings in the 30 seconds that you have to talk between plays, he really could revolutionize broadcasting. And I don't know, maybe one of these days he's going to choose to do it. But I feel like until he chooses to do it, the Steelers are going to keep him around and they're not going to push. And the worst case scenario would be they would find somebody that would give them something. First round pick plus for Mike Tomlin. That's how it would end, not as him being pushed out the door.
Mike, what kind of hairdo did you have in high school?
Was it a mullet then? It was kind of a mullet that was becoming more and more mulletized. You know, I went to a Catholic high school, and I don't know what the rule was for hair. I think it couldn't be like over your collar. You could have no facial hair. So everyone, well, the guys at least, after
the New York Yankees graduated, over there?
It was all grow a mustache. And the summer after we graduated, we all had the cheesiest freaking mustaches. And we thought they were awesome because we were finally allowed to not shave. And I mean, it's the only time in my life I had a mustache, because one of those moments, like you wake up and it's like, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is just ridiculous. So there you go.
White meat or dark meat, Mike?
White meat, because we make the turkey sufficiently moist that you don't need the dark meat to have moist. There's just something about the dark meat that's, I don't know.
I never really liked it.
You deep fry that turkey?
I carve the turkey, and I just don't like it. I carve that dark meat, and it's like, I don't like the looks of this.
Do you deep fry, Mike? Have you ever tried to do the deep fry? I kind of roll my eyes at those videos of people who seem to be setting their houses on fire every year doing this.
We've got a deep fryer that we've used to deep fry a turkey breast before, but we do a good job roasting ours. You don't need to deep fry ours. Ours comes out great. And it's not like they act like it's this impossible task and it takes hours. The hardest part's getting the thing ready. And I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken in high school. I am still skilled in handling raw poultry, which is objectively gross, but I'm used to it. And you know, you got to get in the cavities and make sure you get all the stuff out. But once you put it in the roaster, we got an electric roaster, you drop it in there for 3 hours and it's done. It's like, why was this such a big deal when we're growing up? We acted like, you know, cooking a turkey was like, you know, trying to go find the, you know, lost secrets of Egypt.
Mike, you're not a let's get together and watch It's a Wonderful Life as a family Thanksgiving night or the next day, are you? Are you one of those old
There's football.
Souls?
No, It's a Wonderful Life has its place in – now, It's a Wonderful Life is awesome. But that's got its place in December.
You know,
football tomorrow. The challenge for me tomorrow, the biggest challenge, is not falling asleep during the Chiefs Cowboys game. And every year, I'll sit on the couch after we eat, and I'll say out loud, "I feel pretty good this year," and within 5 minutes, I'll be asleep. That's the challenge. Not let that happen.
All right, Mike. Great stuff. Happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate it. Goodbye.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.